a thousand generations ahead of them. Cool as they come. See, all my suits are Calvin Klein. My lucky number 69. I got all the things I need.
Hey everybody, welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian Wimpen and William Tincup coming to you live every day, talking with HR professionals and those that love human resources. So let's get right to it. William, how are you doing today?
Brother, I'm doing fantastic. Two things. Last night, right before bed, my three-year-old vomited all over me, which was fantastic.
Good, good.
Very humbling. Yeah, very humbling experience. Those of you that have kids know that bit where they just kind of look at you and they kind of give you that little eye and then projectile vomit all over you. There's good stuff there. Very humbling. And I don't really have a lot of weaknesses, but one of my weaknesses is vomit. I can't be around it. It creates vomit with me. I vomit begets vomit, I guess, if you will. And this morning I had a parent-teacher conference for my seven-year-old, which is, it's a high-wire act. Every time you do a parent-teacher conference, I manage my wife's expectations driving in, like, okay, here's the worst thing. He's going to get suspended. You're going to keep him back a grade. They're going to kick him out of school. You know, like, I try to manage her expectations to the farthest point. And it's always better than that. You know, because it turns out he's not going to get suspended, they're not going to hold him back, et cetera. But vomit last night, parent-teacher high-wire act today. So I'm riding a kid high, if you will.
Well, that's, one, I will definitely remember the, to give you more warning on the vomiting. FYI.
Appreciate that.
Good note. Managing expectations, I like that. That's good. You do. You definitely did not overshoot the runway on that one with the family. Good call, everybody. That's just good life lessons right there. Two of them. Take it, seal it, use it. So, good stuff, man. Oh, goodness. Well, you know what? I think we need to get to our guest because it's going to go even further. We're going to talk about one of our lovely Midwest cities and get into what's going on in the world of HR. So, Bob Johnson, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, guys, and welcome. Thank you, Brian, and thank you, William. It's a pleasure to be here. I have to tell you, it is a bright and sunny day here on the north coast of Ohio, and I'm just glad to be here.
Well, excellent. We'll kick it off, and if you go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll roll into what is top of mind today.
Sure. Sure. I work with a firm or an agency called the David Group. I'm a practice leader, for whatever that's worth. And the David Group is a national recruitment and advertising agency, and we work with companies to help them find, attract, and keep talent. But what I'm really passionate about and what I focus kind of my energies on is employer brand communication. And I kind of base that on not only the work we do here in terms of kind of fusing advertising into employee engagement and into communications programs, but I also in my prior life spent some time at Watson Wyatt prior to their merger with Towers Watson. And that's where I really got into employee engagement. So I'm excited to be here. We've got some interesting things we're talking about. And, and it's funny because for some people, when you start talking about employer engagement, you know, they might look like, employer brand communication, they might look like they're about to vomit. But hopefully we get them through to some good programs. And I only say that because I know it's a topic that's been around for a while. But I think particularly now it's going to start becoming more important, and we're seeing more companies really beginning to take it seriously.
Nice. Now, well, point of clarification, Bob. When I lived in Cleveland for 2 years while in school, I considered Cleveland the East. Brian, when he introduced you, he kind of introduced you as Cleveland as the Midwest. are you a platypus? What is Cleveland? Is it the East or is it the Midwest?
Well, it depends where you are. If you're in Shaker Heights, you might think it's the East, but I think I say that with love because I grew up in Cleveland Heights, not far from Shaker Heights. But I think technically we're the Midwest, but there are others who have greater expertise in geography than I do.
Nice. Well, let me, because you have a interactions with a lot of clients, what do you think is keeping your clients up at night? What's top of mind for them?
Well, and it sounds a little trivial, but, you know, obviously finding talent, attracting talent, and trying to keep them, particularly in an era of doing more with less. But here's my take on it, and this, you know, and I was prepping for the show last night, so I was kind of thinking about this, and, you know, answering for myself, what keeps me up at night is, you know, and it's actually two things, and they're kind of intertwined, but the first thing is, what I'm really worried about on behalf of my clients is the relationship between employer and employees. And it's no secret that over the last 5 to 6 years, this relationship has taken, you know, a huge toll. And, you know, my opinion is I think that there's damage in many ways, you know, that we haven't yet recognized. There's plenty of signs of this. You know, you see data from Elderman's Trust Barometer or the recent Tower Watson surveys, which are very good, or MetLife. And there really is a strain on the relationship. And I worry about, you know, the particular items of stuff like loyalty, trust, commitment, you know, because those are the real kind of at-risk factors. And, you know, my opinion is if the talent market picks up even slightly, and for some industries it already is, you know, talent's going to be ready to move. Another aspect of this, you know, for me, and we see it with some of our clients, you know, certainly HR themselves has taken a big hit over the last couple of years. You know, my experience is in talking to some very senior leaders, not only here but across the country, you know, I mean, they're tired. They've been through a lot, and these are very dynamic men and women, but, you know, they've been doing more with less. And I have to say, I'm not even sure that's possible, but they've been doing more with less, and that's kind of shaping the discussion too. So for me, though, the second part of this is, and you guys are living examples of this with your great show and the way you network, we're living in an era where the dynamics of the way people get their information, form their opinions, make decisions, you know, all of that's changing. That is changing to such a degree that, you know, our messages are being consumed, supplemented, amplified, questioned aloud. You know, all in real time. So, you know, what's really critical is having a knowledge base of, you know, those things are being done based on people's experience and perceptions, and that's particularly relevant to employer brand. So, you know, you put those two things together, and, you know, I'll tell you, that's quite a cocktail. I mean,
yeah.
For me, that's a Maker's Mark Manhattan. Which is, you know, if you're used to having Maker's Mark Manhattans, you know that you can only have maybe two or three, but that's about it.
Let me ask you, from all your experience, Bob, what do employees want to know from companies? Like, what do you, if you were to boil those down and create a Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you know, of employee communications,
mm-hmm.
what do they really, really want to know from the companies that they work at?
Well, it's hard to generalize, and you know, there's a couple of different ways we could craft, you know, stronger employer brands. But I know that some of the data we'll look at, for example, I think Towers Watson has some stuff out there that talks about, you know, what, and this may be about a year old, but, you know, one of the key drivers for our employees is a sense of being a part of the team, being part of the work-life community, and a certain level of security. And that's actually no surprise. I mean, after what we've all been through, you know, I think everybody is looking for a little bit of security and stability. But I think people are also very interested in wanting to have a great relationship with their employer, which implies to me at least, an honest relationship that, you know, what I'm saying is being valued, I'm participating, you know, those kind of things.
Where do you think values play from a company's perspective, as you already described, we just got out of a recession, or hopefully we're climbing out of a recession,
yeah,
wherever we are. Where do values play for both the employee class and also for companies? Do you see that being kind of strengthened and people are really digging into their values? Do you think it's being downplayed? Like, where's the values discussion happening, you know, that you're kind of seeing?
You know, we see it every day, and we see that particularly, and if, you know, we're able to at times partner with some great engagement survey folks, so where you really kind of see it is when there's actually a disconnect or misalignment of values. You know, one of the things that when we're talking about employer brand communication, you know, we like to use kind of branding lingo, and one of the lingo of brand management is attributes. So, you know, we like to think about looking at employer brand attributes and putting a value on those, and then measuring how well an organization is delivering and then communicating on those. So it's possible, I guess, if you look at it from that context, that, you know, a company's core values, you know, may or may not be, you know, the key attribute of an employer brand. But having said that, I would guess it's pretty high up there. I mean, I doubt that people are all that interested in being involved in organizations that don't have, you know, a corresponding value basis to what they're doing.
So, Bob, this is Brian. Want to go a little, kind of jump a little bit different direction. So, in the HR space, obviously, you know, been doing it a long time. Where do you draw some just creative inspiration around how to make things new, how to make things different, how to present it different? What's kind of just a personal kind of creative muse for you, which I think we all have?
Well, for me personally, and you know, we have the benefit here because we're kind of in the ad business anyways. You know, I personally, and of course I'm a little wacky, so you know, I have different perspectives on these things. I find it from everything I look at, you know, from magazines to ads to, you know, and I'm always kind of thinking about, gee, how does that connect? You know, why is it connecting with me? And then how can I translate that thought to our employees? But I will tell you this, I mean, if you're interested in something that's really kind of different and unique, and it's not necessarily related to the work we do, though I love to partner with them, there's a great company here in Cleveland called, I think of her name, it's called Outside the Lines, and its president really has come up with a great idea. And what they do is they do like cartooning, and they'll create like a cartoon image or a cartoon character. And I've seen some of the work they've done, and this is fantastic. I mean, it's a great way to connect employers with employees, and you know, there's some great stories. So that's an illustration of something we're seeing in the marketplace that's maybe an evolution of the gamification stuff or, you know, all that other kind of stuff. But, yeah, it's critical to connect with your employees, particularly in a market share where, you know, their attention is being diverted by everything else under the sun.
Bob, the million-dollar question, when do we know we're doing employee communications correctly, or we've done it right?
Well, there's a couple different ways, at least from my perspective, you could answer that. You know, there's the gut feeling, right? You know, you walk down the hall, things are humming, there's a buzz about the company, there's a buzz about the company and the community, people feel proud about being there, there's, you know, there's all that kind of stuff. But there's also the numbers. And, you know, we certainly encourage our clients, and I certainly encourage people I talk to think about, you know, if you're not doing an engagement survey, you should be, at least to a certain extent, so that you can measure those things. You know, you want to have a good sense of your HR metrics, productivity levels. I think there are other factors, turnover rates, you know, those kind of things. And you throw that into the mix, and that should give you a good indication. I think one of the pitfalls companies face is that they rely maybe too heavily on the emotional side of things. You know, things feel great. You know, we're having a great time. You know, we had more people show up to the barbecue this year than last year. And, you know, there may be a false sense of security there. So we're very big into thinking about putting metrics to what we do and thinking about outcomes and thinking about, you know, particularly if you think about change communication, you know, what's the behavior we're trying to change and how do we get there and how are we measuring it? Those are kind of important things to think about.
Bob, this is Brian. We'll do a quick reset. Everybody listening to Drive Through HR, we're on with Bob Johnson. I want to actually kind of roll back to my creative question. I've got creative on the brain. I can't get rid of it. So,
okay.
William, where are you drawing creative inspiration today? I haven't asked you this question for probably 4 months now.
For me, Facebook. I consume a lot of Facebook. I get lost in kind of Facebook. And so, you know, every time I get down on it, I'll find something. Like last night, I probably spent an hour watching a bunch of these Harlem videos that are being kind of cut. It's like the PSY, kind of everyone shooting these new videos around the Harlem shop. And it's actually kind of cool to just see different people's takes on it. Like my favorite one so far is the University of Georgia's swim and diving team and their take on the song. So, you know, inspiration can come from everywhere, but I think probably in the last 24 or 48 hours, Facebook and YouTube. Great question, though.
Nice. Appreciate that. It's interesting because you've kind of, against my ill will initially, have got me more dialed up on Instagram. So I've actually been drawing a little more inspiration out of the visual, just imagery and within Instagram. So actually, thank you for that. So
that's a nice segue for Bob. Bob, where do you see visuals in employee communications? How has that changed? I mean, we used to tack things up in the break room, etc. You know, what do you think of like Pinterest or, as Brian said, Instagram or kind of the visual mediums or maybe even YouTube with video? Where do you see these new mediums in employee communications?
Yeah, and it's funny because I think that those two items in particular may even leapfrog YouTube. I mean, I think there's a sense out there that, you know, there's the corporate videos that are put in YouTube, and it's kind of like overly done in a way. So that's kind of interesting. Yeah, it has to be there. It has to, you know, you have to kind of grab people's attention. You have to inspire them. You have to, and again, you know, getting back to one of my two main concerns, the marketplace is moving in a different direction. You know, everything's mobile. Everything is almost entertainment-based. You know, the challenge from the company side is how do we do so in a way that still kind of protects our stature, so to speak, or protects our brand, but we also want to find a way to connect with our people. So there's a balance. I'm a fan of Instagram myself. So I that's pretty cool. And I think there's a sense that. I think companies are coming around a little bit better. I think they're less worried about the social aspects of things. You know, in the past, you know, you'd be like, oh, we can't post anything on Facebook or we can't post anything on Twitter until, you know, it's been approved by, you know, a whole list of people. And then once you have sign off, companies are moving quickly to have a better understanding. What I talk to clients about, though, is being able to harness social and those other aspects in a way that's a little bit maybe more strategic and aligned to, some outcomes.
You had mentioned earlier around metrics and measurement. I wanted to kind of stop down there, if you don't mind.
Sure.
What advice do you give clients around employee communications in terms of the bubble up? What should they be measuring? What are some of the key measurements or metrics that, you know, you can't measure everything or you shouldn't measure everything? What are those that you really point to and say, let's keep our eyes on these three numbers?
You know, well, And again, this kind of goes to our recruiting roots. We like to look at such things as retention rates. I mean, that's kind of standard. Engagement levels. And then we get very tactical about stuff like cost per hire, time to hire, that kind of stuff. On the employee communication side, I would probably, I'd be interested in running some studies in terms of awareness and retention. So you could look at the numbers. So, for example, maybe you do, you're doing an open enrollment campaign, and you know, you could track participation. So that'll give you a big clue as to what, you know, what's kind of selling and what's not. But it may be possible. It is possible, but you may want to consider doing deeper research or analysis into, okay, we sent out these series of messages on this particular campaign. Are they being understood? Are people really understanding it? And there's ways to do that, either through survey tools or, you know, you could always do focus groups or that kind of stuff.
What's your take on Glassdoor?
You know, that is a great question. I'm not sure. I mean, I think that Glassdoor is, when you think about all the those type of sites and those type of places where people are going to go and people are going to check you out either as an employee or as a potential employee, and you have to be careful and monitor those things. I think the corporate point of view at times has always been, well, you know, they're not, you know, it's not credible or they're not real or, gee, I read that one post and that's, you know, that's Bob who used to be here and he's just a grumpy old guy. Let me pause. I try not to be a grumpy old guy, but it happens at times. Don't hold that against me. But I think that, you know, as we're evolving in this wonderful journey of communication, you know, those things become more real, more credible, and, you know, that's the source. So if I'm advising somebody, I would have somebody be monitoring those things, particularly, you know, if you're a more prominent type firm, because it's going to have an impact. You know, it's interesting. You know, it's interesting because, you know, part of what I do is obviously promote our business, so I'm involved in those kind of things. And I saw an interesting stat about sales, you know, professional sales. And it's something like, and I think Forrester put it out, 70% of the business that I'm going to get has already been decided that I'm going to get it before I even talk to that person. Now, to me, that's just an amazing stat because what it's saying is they've already made up their mind. They've done their research. They've done their homework. And, you know, before we could even talk to them, they've got a sense of who we are and what we are. So that's on the business side. The exact same thing is true for your employees and for your candidates. They are doing the same processes. I mean, imagine, we may go out to dinner. My wife, I'm happy to say, works across the street in a different building. If we decide to go to a new restaurant, what's the first thing I'm going to do? I'm going to look it up online. I'm going to look at my iPhone, look at the menu. Before I even call the place or get in there, I've already picked out what I'm going to eat. And by the way, I do like to eat, so, you know, but I'm working on that too.
Hey, Bob, this is Brian. And so since you're in the ad space, and so what is the most, this is a little bit off topic, but what is the
sure.
most compelling advertisement that you can recall of late? What's one that you're like, wow, that was amazing?
So lately?
Yeah, all time maybe.
Oh, I don't know about all time, because, and maybe just because I have poor memory skills, I'm always in campaign mode, so I'm always going forward. So it's what's the most recent. I'd say I really like the campaign of, and I think it's a phone guy, of the guy sitting with the kids, right? And it's a television campaign. And he's asking them questions, and it's all about, you know, faster is better or bigger is better. It's just well-written. It's very concise. You get it right away. you know, to me, the challenges I have are, and the ones that don't work, is when you don't really get it right away and you have to really think about it. Because, you know, and if you get into web development, there's a great book called Don't Make Me Think. And that to me is what it's about. You know, you have to get your message there fast and quick. But there are a lot of great ones out there.
Nice. Bob, let me ask a pre-hire question. Insofar as, what do you feel that candidates want to know before they take a job? Like, if we can kind of think of, it gets right down to it, they want to know X, Y, and Z. From your perspective,
yeah.
what do they want to know before they take a job?
You know, and there's a lot of science to that, and, you know, there are a lot of people who do candidate experience studies. To me, I'm a little bit more emotional about it. I think they want to have a vision of themselves in that company. And so how do you accomplish that? You accomplish it by, you know, telling a story that they're going to relate to. So I think they want to know, you know, so for me, and I think other people think like me, you know, how am I going to work in that organization? You know, is it a right fit? So there's a cultural aspect to it. You know, can I be secure there? I think, again, security is a big issue for a lot of candidates. And frankly, and this is going to be kind of off the mark a little bit for some people, but particularly given on the last 5-6 years, you know, is it a hassle to try to apply and get a job there? Because, you know, I've been through the ring, you know, what they may be thinking is I've been through the ringer for so long that, you know, I if I have to go into one more black hole of going through an application process that, you know, you never hear from somebody, that's a problem. So I don't know if that answers your question, but, you know.
That was a damn fine answer, in fact. So we got about 2 minutes and 45 seconds. And so what rest of the year, what do you got going on conference-wise, anything happening out in the Mideast, whatever we want to call it, part of the country?
Well, whether we're East, Mideast, or Midwest, we want you to come to Cleveland. I'm so glad you asked me this because I'm actually on the committee for the Northern Ohio HR Conference, which is actually March. If I low plug, it's March 8th here in Cleveland. It's a full-day conference. It is going to be a bang-up show. We call it Rhythms of Success is the theme this year, and we've got Jim Knight and Philip Solomon, Dan Thurman, Chip Madera, plus many of the local talent here. And as we were kind of talking in the pre-show, I mean, Northeast Ohio and Ohio in general has a lot of HR talent. So that's what I'm focused on. I'll be there. It's a great show. You know, if you're within a couple hundred miles of Cleveland, you should plan to attend. If you want to fly in, there's plenty of hotel rooms. We have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We've got a lot of other great things to come to Cleveland for. But that's what I'm going to do. I'm working with a guy out in New York on our we have this little tool we're working on, a matrix tool. He's doing some work in Las, and there's a show in Las Vegas coming up. I think it's HR for hospitality industry that's supposed to be very good. But that's about it.
Got it. Good stuff. Well, glad to hear you're pulling in some big talent. Jim Knight, good friend, and he'll bring some seriously entertaining and valuable content to your folks. So he's a hell of a good guy. So, well, Bob, thanks for coming on. Where can people connect with you? Because we're running out of time here.
Well, I'll be quick, but maybe next year you guys should simulcast from the next conference. But
hey,
please do. I'm on Twitter at N. Robert Johnson. The David Group here, my email is nrobertjohnson@davidgroup.com and nrobertjohnson on LinkedIn. All inquiries, connections, tweets are welcome. So I look forward to connecting with folks.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Have a good conference, folks. We are out.
Wiped off the face of the earth and gone. Shot into space, cause she's a deleter. I'm a repeater, she's a deleter. Now I
I'm gone.